Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 74, if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight, I have a good friend in the studio with me. His name is Josh Kurth. He's a pastor here. And so, Josh, thanks for joining us tonight.
And, thank you, Andrew, for having me back and allowing me to come and speak and really just hear what the God is doing here in Panama.
Good. I want to share a few things first before we start the program. I want to let people know that we do have the online 24-hour internet radio station that's just begun here with Strength for the Journey. You can type in strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. I'm sorry, strengthforthejourneyradio.com. Or you can simply type in s4tjradio.com, and that'll take you there. There's also a link as well on Strength for the Journey on the radio button on the Strength for the Journey website. I want to share a few things real quickly, too, with the what's going on here with the Ministry of Strength for the Journey. We have another tract order that we are putting together, and tonight I spoke with Chick Tracks, and they are putting a count together for Strength for the Journey, and we're trying to raise between $8,000 and $10,000. We want to do another 100,000 to 125,000 tracks to bring them to Panama, and we're going to mix them up with English and Spanish tracks because we think a lot of gringos here need to be saved. So if you're interested in donating to the cause of these tracks, I can tell you how to donate. You can write a check out to Chick Publications, and you can mail it to Chick Publications, P.O. Box 3500, Ontario, California, and it's 91761, and put attention Reba. And then in the memo, just at the bottom, just say Strength for the Journey. And so that will go directly to that account that we're looking to raise between $8,000 and $10,000. So,
amen.
We can't wait to see what happens. Josh, I'm very excited, and amazing things have happened since you were last on the program.
Yes. There's a lot of things has changed, and for the better. And you know, it's a wonderful thing when God begins to speak to you. But then it's even better when we stay tuned into what God is speaking, and we hear that direction continue to shift and to change and position us for exactly what He wants for us to be doing.
That's right. And sometimes it's a little bit of a bouncing off the walls for a little while. And why don't you share a little bit about bouncing off the walls as you try to get the church started here? Because when the Lord put on your heart to start a church, you just kind of went into the cookie cut mold.
That's right.
And the Lord had some other ideas. You had to bounce off a few walls.
Yeah, you know, when God called us into Panama and told us even before we were coming that we were to start a church, and I was like, okay, God, that's no problem. You know, there's one on every corner in the U.S. and this is the way you do church. And, you know, that's what was in my mind. And it's not, I didn't think to, you know, I was so in tune to listen of where we were going that when He said, okay, do this, I didn't begin to even ask for the model or the directions on how to. So it was just, well, I thought I knew what church was. I thought I knew how God wanted to do that. So when we began to build a church, the first thing you do, you know, you scout out the area, you look around and you see what the needs are and the people are, and then and you can do all those things and then find a building. And that's exactly what we began to do, is look for a building and how we're going to do this and make sure we had good sound, a praise and worship team, make sure you had the pulpit was the right height and this and that, and you know, the dynamics of church. And it wasn't very long when God began to say, you know what, that looks great and it's worked in the past, but God was really calling us to a Book of Acts church where God is saying, you know what, I want to pour out my spirit on my people, but it's not going to be the way it was. And He moved us out of the building of where we were currently staying and moved us back into our home. And since we've done that, the anointing, the Spirit of God has poured out. And it's only been 3 weeks since we've been in the home, but we've had more people step foot in our home than we were having in a building. And when we were having this structured four-walled place, God has put us to a point to where we really see the anointing move and healings are happening and that the prophetic's coming forth. Then and it's not about the pastor standing up in front of a pulpit sharing and preaching at a bunch of people, but it's allowing the hand of God to really come in and utilize the gifts back into the home.
That's right. You know, what's really amazing is that, you know, the way God sometimes speaks to us is maybe it's not necessarily by one person. We've always kind of looked as one person is the man of God, and he's going to give the word.
Yes.
But you know what? God gives the word through many people. And like 3 weeks ago, my wife had a word at the church.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the whole church service, that was the service, you know?
That's it.
And I've seen that model almost happening now is that even last week, there were several words that the Holy Spirit used several people to bring. And each one of those words was almost like a piece of the puzzle that made the one word was just a portion of the piece, because of the things that that one of the woman there, Helga, who's been on the radio program, had a prophetic word that she could see the rain is coming.
That's right.
And the Lord had spoke to me the week before that you've saved for the future, and he said the future's now. So in other words, there's something God was wanting me to do, and it was motivating me. And when I saw that the rain was coming, it's like having a handful of seeds. The seeds have to go in the ground right now.
That's right.
So there's something that God was trying to do, and I'll expound on that as the time goes on. But it's right now the Lord is speaking to me to do some very specific things right now.
Amen.
In preparation right now of what God wants to do. But all to say is that each one of us, what if you're sitting at a regular church service, you know, back in the old church, and somebody had a prophetic word, and it was never released. It was never allowed to be released because of the structure that's in place.
That's right.
That.
Well, I was that individual. I mean, moving in the prophetic giftings, and you look for the proper order. And I'm not saying that things are done out of order. And, you know, God, there are things that have to be done in order, decently and in order. But when the apostolic hand of God begins to move, he uses, you know, Ephesians 4:11, he sent apostles, he sent prophets, he sent the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. It's the hand of God that that he's looking for and to use in the church. And ultimately, you know, can I give this word now? Can I give this now? Well, this person's up there, or, you know, and it's, we've sat for so long under one, we're malnourished Christians. You know, we've had one food item, and that's the voice of the pastor for so many years. And it's nothing against the pastor. It's just, the church can't be built off just the word of the pastor. And we have to be trained. We have to be looking for the apostles. We have to be, God is stirring up a body of Christ where, and it's not just here in Panama, it's happening around the world. But I truly believe he's creating apostolic hubs to be risen up and to rise up to where the voice of God is coming from, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the teacher and pastor. And it's not just coming from the one man. So when your wife stood up and hey, yea, thus saith the Lord, it's my duty, even as a pastor, to step back and say, okay, God, well, the prophet is getting ready to speak, and it's my it's not, whoa, the, well, you, I prepared a message. Hold on a minute. I got to get my message out. I would much rather hear the voice of the Lord than worry about a note or you know, we've been taught to death. There's so much stuff out there that we've been taught, and you know, we have such head knowledge, but we have no clue about what this moving of the Spirit of God is. And we're literally raising up a body of Christ who won't recognize the move of the Holy Ghost, who won't recognize the move and what to do with the call, what to do with that push and that anointing that rises up in us. And I've heard pastors say, well, we want you going out and praying for people out in the grocery stores. We want you going out into the streets and do ministry and do these things. But yet you won't let me pray for anyone in the church. You won't let me prophesy to anyone in the church. So how can I ever go out into a grocery store and pray for someone?
That's right.
So we're sending people ill-equipped.
You know, I was just thinking about when in the day of Pentecost, It says when Peter saw it.
That's right.
You know, this, and what it was the opportunity to proclaim the word of the Lord at that moment. And he was prepared to give the word when he saw it.
That's right.
And I'm afraid that, mm-hmm. that the it just passes by most churches and most congregations, because when the Holy Spirit's moving, nobody senses the it moment.
That's right. Well, and what it does is it creates a frustration in the body of Christ, because we have men and women who are hearing the voice of the Lord and they're being sat on, they're being stifled, and the Holy Spirit is being stifled, and they're not being equipped and sent out to be used by God. And so, you know what, I'm to be honest, it was getting to the point where you were getting fed up with hearing the pastor talk and teach at us to make sure the pews are full, but yet we're not sending anyone and utilizing the giftings of the Holy Spirit with that are moving in the body. And what ends up happening, you know, we have people who, you know, who are over-equipped. I'm running into people here who have more word, more knowledge, more education about the Word of God, but yet haven't stepped foot in a church for the last 5 years. And they come into a home church and say, I haven't felt a move of the Holy Spirit like this in years. And it's so extremely humbling, because if I would have tried to put God into a box, into the old wineskin church model, and it's not that the old wine was bad. It wasn't that it didn't move. It, you know, it brought me to a salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ, you know, and I felt God. But you know what? When God's anointing begins to shift, when God begins to grab people by the hand and say, you know what, that was good, but I have something better for you. We have to be, as pastors, as leaders for this next generation, we have to be willing to put ourselves down, to put our kingdoms, our ministries that we're building, lay them down and say, Father, it's not my house, but it's your house. It's your kingdom. How do we position the people and prepare them to be sent? We have to.
And I believe this is kind of one of those staging grounds that we've been talking about, this, that the Lord seems to be bringing people. This is not just a location of a destination.
Right. Yes.
It's just it's a sending ground that God is raising up leaders,
yes,
for the nations. People are willing to leave their comfort zone, leave the nest, and let their wings take them where God wants them to go. And I had a vision of myself just as I was leaving. I was preaching in a church, and I saw myself in the Lord's hand like a dandelion seed. And he said, now you've matured to the time for me to send you. Right. I can blow you now, because you're no longer, you're willing to die as this little pretty flower. Say, we got to die. We have to literally die to ourselves and say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And once you get to that place, then God can send you, because see, you're going to have, God's not going to send you out to the nations with your own agenda in mind.
That's right.
And he's not going to bless you in your little endeavors, because this is like the fourth quarter down to the 2 minute warning.
That's right.
This is not playtime. This is for all the marbles right now, and we've got to get our act together and find out what God's saying and what he wants to do.
And it's imperative that we continue to stay in the Word and continue to go back to the Father and saying, okay, God, I heard you here. You sent me. Now I'm here. Now what shall I be doing? Because ultimately, you know, go and start a church. It sounded great. I thought, okay, God, checkbox. And I go through my checkbox and I said, okay, I'm done. And God said, no, you're not done, because you didn't ask me how to build the church. And ultimately, if we go back to the old church model, and God said, you know, I'm gonna be planting 30 plus churches, and this is what I want you to be doing. But if we go to the old church model and build 30 plus churches that way, then it's going to take us 30 to 50 years to build those churches. And you know what, we've had a visitor, Pastor Das from India, and spoken to our lives, and he really opened my eyes that in, you know, a year and a half.
Tell me about Pastor Das real quick.
Well, Pastor Das was an individual who came in who extremely blessed us. But ultimately, he's a church planner, and he was here on an excursion
from India,
and in the time, you know, God has given him a vision of 500,000 churches. Unbelievable numbers. I can't even comprehend that. But there's villages, there's that many villages with at least 5,000 people in each one.
In India.
And God is, who's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, he went in, he was telling a story once, and he came in and said that, one of his pastors that he's trained went into a grocery store and said, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And he said, "No, I'm sorry, we don't sell that here. Try down over there." And I don't even understand that concept in my mind. And, you know, but he said in the last year and a half, he has planted over 280 churches in a year and a half. So in my understanding of the old wineskin church model, it's not going to work. He looked at me and said, it would take me 500,000 years to build churches in the way I was going. Mm-hmm. So it really just opened my eyes to the Book of Acts church, to where the Bible is about families. Mm-hmm. It's about the home. Mm-hmm. And they were going about to homes and they met daily. You know, if I have to meet daily with people from my church, you know what? They're going to know if I'm putting a facade on. They're going to know how I raise my kids. They're going to know how I speak to my wife. They're going to know these things about me. And they're going to know if I have a clean house or not. They're going to know. And there's no fakeness in this. And ultimately, God is stripping away all these facades, these masks that the church has put on to promote filling seats. And ultimately, I truly believe the Book of Acts wasn't about filling seats. You know, the greatest prophet, the greatest evangelist out there, the number one pastor, Jesus himself, didn't have 1,000-plus member church. You know, when it was all said and done, you look around, he had 12 disciples, 12 true followers, but then when you look around, how many were left in the upper room?
Not many. You know, what's interesting, too, is that Jesus at times looked around and said, I think I need to thin the herd a little bit.
That's right.
You know, he wanted to thin the free food Christians in chapter 6 of John. You know, he said, "Well, try this meal on." He wanted to give them a little meal that was a little hard to swallow because he didn't want people following him for the wrong reasons. Right. Can you imagine if you were building a church and you didn't want somebody filling that seat or that pew that didn't have a heart to give their life to the Lord and live for him? 100%. If you're just looking to try to raise another program and look real good and build your ministry, then you'll accept anything. You know, how many pastors do you think today that if someone laid an offering in the offering plate, how many pastors could challenge that person, laid the offering and all? Is that all that God told you that you committed to God to give that in that offering plate?
That's right.
I mean, how many Ananias and Sapphira could be called on the carpet? How many men of God and women of God could hear and are living by such purity in the Holy Spirit and has such the fire of God on them could call Ananias and Sapphira on the carpet today?
That's right.
You know, this is what God's trying to, the whole thing is reproduction.
Yes.
It's not that you're trying to build a church, it's that you're going to make disciples. That's our calling.
That's right.
And are you... Is there something
and we're
in
all
you?
Called.
Yes, right.
We're all called. We're all ministers.
We're believers.
That's right. And we're not standing up behind the pulpit and saying, you have to be like me. But we're all called to be ministers of the gospel and to go and to raise up disciples.
That's right.
And the thing is, if that old mentality, I can't allow the Spirit to move too much because it might offend the guy with a pocketbook. And I'm sorry, but you know what? When a pulpit's paid for, when there's no debt, I can preach whatever I want, whatever Holy Spirit puts in my heart. There's no fear of offending or fear of where the next paycheck's going to come from because it's paid for. And you know, when you bring people into your home and you begin to speak and allow the Spirit of God to truly begin to move, to truly begin to flow, healing begins to happen. Mm-hmm. The anointing begins to move. And it's not always the man of God. It's not always the person sitting up front that God's going to use. Because you may come on some any particular Sunday and God speaks to you, and that's the word that's supposed to be coming. Not the one that was prepared, this, that, and the other. But, you know, how many pastors will lay down the microphone and say, come on, Andrew, go ahead and give the word and that the Lord has spoken to you. And put down their pride, put down themselves, and not worry about building numbers, because it's not about building numbers. Sometimes it's more about the quality than the quantity. And the quality of believers, the disciples, those who can be raised up and be sent. And you know why, you know, truly believe why most pastors don't allow the apostolic, the apostle and the prophet to come in, because when the apostle begins to start sending folks, he's sending people out of your seats. He's sending people right out of your church. And there goes your money too. But if you got a big bank, a bank statement to take care of, if you got a building, a mortgage on your building, if you got these things, that's not the New Testament church that God is speaking about. And he's raising the bar. I truly believe in this time, he's raising the bar of churches around the world.
That's right. And you know, something else too is that, you know, the Lord said to me many years ago, because I wanted to go change the world. I wanted to go, you know, I was so excited about what Jesus had done in my life, I wanted to go change the world. And the Lord grabbed me by my neck collar, literally, almost like I could feel it. And he said, "Whoa, son." He said, "Never. Let me tell you something. You're never going to change anybody. The only guy you'll ever change is the guy you see in the mirror every morning.
Amen.
But the changes you allow me to make in you, I will use to change others." And it's almost like a seed. A seed only reproduces after its own kind. So you can only reproduce in others what you already are. You can't reproduce in others what you want to be, your greatest hopes and desires. That's see, right. We have to become who God wants us to be so God can do, reproduce the work that he's done in our life in somebody else's
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
And so if you're listening right now and God's put on your heart to open up a Bible study in your home, well, do it. Because, see, God's trying to reproduce the work that he's done in your life in other people's lives.
Amen.
And it provides an avenue. And whatever God's putting on your heart, just go do it. Just do what God tells you to do. Don't worry that you haven't been to seminary. Guess what? I haven't either.
That's right.
You know, my seminary is opening up my Bible and asking the Holy Spirit to teach me.
That's right.
And he will teach us. He's the Spirit of truth. He said, "He'll lead and guide us into all truth." So if you just open up your Bible and say, "Holy Spirit, teach me. I want to know what you have to say to me." And I encourage you to go to the red letters, because, I mean, there's some of the most powerful words ever spoken that are written in the Bible in those red letters.
And you know, and I know we're restricted on time here, so I can't go too long on this, but I truly believe that somebody's listening today. You know, the Spirit of the Lord, as you just began to speak to that, just had a check in their spirit. And as you're listening today, God just begins to speak to me, and I'm going to put that word out there for you, that if you're listening, the Spirit of the Lord just says that, you know, it's not about who qualifies you or what you may feel qualified for, but God is actually speaking to you right now and sending you into a new area, a new, maybe it's a different job, maybe it's a different career field, or maybe it's into the ministry or feel called and led into the ministry. And you question, you say, "God, but I've done this for 20 years. I've done this for 15 years. This is what I'm good at." And God is actually calling you to step out into faith and trust him, because he's the one who qualifies. And actually God even said this, is that someone has even told you in the church, this is coming from church leadership, someone told you, whoever this is for, someone in church leadership told you that you can't do this because you're not trained, because you don't have the right education. And I just want to encourage you, read through Galatians, because the Spirit of the Lord, the education that I have, the education that God is using right now, it doesn't come from a book, it doesn't come from a study, it comes from the book, it comes from him by divine revelation of the Spirit of the living God. And that is exactly what God is doing for you right now. He's raising up a supernatural intelligence of his word to where every time you begin to read the word, it's going to highlight in your life. And God is going to give you a supernatural understanding and knowledge of that word. So I just encourage whoever that is to even give feedback to Andrew and let him know. But I truly believe that God is raising up his people, and he's raising you up. That it's not that I'm telling you to be disobedient and don't listen to your leadership, but I just want to encourage you that you know, that is not of God, that when God begins to move, he doesn't always have to move through a Christian education or through a college degree, but he's the one handing out the degree. So I just wanted to give that a word for someone, Andrew.
You know, something else too is that when I was first got saved, I wanted to go tell others about Jesus, and of course the enemy comes immediately, like, "What do you know? You never read the Bible before." And I immediately, like, the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, "If all you know is I came into your heart yesterday and you've never known a peace like you know right now," that's all you need to say. You don't have to know everything to tell what you know.
That's right.
And this is what the enemy tries to do in all of our lives. He tries to shut our mouth and keep us from telling what we know.
That's right.
And our mouth is the greatest weapon that we have against the enemy. That's why the enemy is always working to shut our mouth, to keep us quiet. But you know what? We just need to be blabber mouths about Jesus, you know, and what he's done for us. And if we'll do that, we'll put the enemy on his heels, because as long as we have our mouths shut, he's got us on our heels.
Right. But it's by the word of our testimony.
That's right.
And you know what? Everyone has a testimony. Everyone can begin to just tell what God did for them. What a great gospel to be able to sit back and say, you know what? This is what God did for me. I don't know what he's going to do for you, but this is what God did for me. And no one's going to sit there and go and say and not speak out of love. You're talking about you. You're talking about what God did for you. You know, you can't mess up when you start telling people about the goodness of what God did for you. It's a freedom. It's a freedom to begin to go talk. It's a free ticket to go tell somebody about what God is doing and the greatness of God and what he's doing in your life.
You know what's really amazing is that about maybe 2 months or so before we finally got our packing slip or transfer papers to leave America, I couldn't talk to somebody and just start to tell them something that God was doing in my life that I wouldn't start crying. It's like the Holy Spirit was so much all over me, I couldn't help but cry when I started to tell. And I said, I don't know what God's doing in my life, but he's doing something incredible. I was baffled. I don't know what he's doing, but it's like it was just all over me. And they couldn't deny God's doing something in my life. In fact, I was just talking to a pastor just maybe a couple of weeks before we left, and he said, I want you to come preach it. I want you to come share in my church, because it's like there's something in you that you need to talk or tell my church.
That's right.
And I believe that if you will just get out there and just open up your mouth,
yes,
and tell what God has done or what he's doing in your life, how he's speaking to you, what he's showing you, get the conversation off the football game and the basketball game. Get it on the Lord and see what he'll do through you if you'll just open up your mouth and tell the great things that God is doing.
Right. I truly believe that it's not just you about you encouraging you to step out, but he's what's going on around the world. God is encouraging people. There's a desire rising up in people, and they're, well, what do I do? And it's, well, you do what God's called us, and it's to be a witness. It's to go out and tell the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's God. I said it even this morning when we were together, Andrew, you know, God is not calling us out of something. He's calling us to something.
That's right.
He's not calling us out, but he's calling us to.
That's right. And I know that each one of you that's listening right now, he's calling you to something. He's calling you to your destiny, because this is a time of destiny, I believe, in people's lives, that they've been prepared for such a time as this.
Yes.
And so I believe this is a time. So thank you again for joining us. Josh, thanks for coming on Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.